One of the most fond memories of my mother I have is when she taught me how to play canasta. My brother got a canasta card deck, and my mom was so excited because she hasn't played canasta since she was a little kid, and she taught us how to play. And the great thing about it was that she taught us how to play in 5 minutes, and then after that, we were on our own. She would play like her life depended on it. She would play for keeps. That's how my mother would play. And some people would go to therapy because of that, but I thought it was awesome. But my mom, she had just this attitude that she was playing for keeps. That if she, her life depended on this game. Her life depended on this game. I thought that was great. Did you know that the Bible commands us to play for keeps in the same attitude? Now, I'm not talking about a game of canasta or a game of dominoes or Uno. I'm talking about the game of life as we live. Our mothers teach us. Our parents teach us. But they teach us so that we can play for keeps. Today in the text, I'm going to show you two things about playing for keeps. First, that we need to keep our mother's instructions. We need to keep it. Second, it will keep us. So if you will please turn with me in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20. Proverbs 6, verse 20. And we will learn how to play for keeps this morning. Please allow me to read this. My son, observe the commandments of your father, and do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Bind them continually on your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you walk about, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will talk to you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching is a light. And reproofs for discipline are the way of life, to keep you from the evil woman, from the smooth tongue of the adulteress. Now, when we look at the book of Proverbs, and particularly this passage of Proverbs, we need to understand the whole corpus of Proverbs, or the whole book of Proverbs, in order to fully understand this one in its context. We understand that the book of Proverbs is written from Solomon to his son. The book's main purpose is to offer skillful living. It's fatherly advice. And as Solomon sets up the book of Proverbs, you have it almost as a story, that you have Solomon's son, or the naive one, walking down a street of a city. And all around the city are different people. And each one of these persons or groups of people are trying to fill their son's head. On one side, you have the lady of wisdom, you have the parents, and you have the woman of virtue. On the other side, you have the scoffer, you have the fool, you have the woman of folly, and you have the adulterous woman. Each one is screaming to this son, come follow me, come. They each give each of their benefits in the beginning. Now, in Proverbs, the first nine chapters, Solomon will give 15 discourses, or 15 different lessons, each one of them having their own unique theme. The one that we are coming to in our passage is the 12th discourse. And this discourse is none other than to stay away from the prostitute or the woman who is a harlot. So let us dive into the text with the proper context of the text. It says, my son, observe the commandments of your father, and do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Now, both parents are involved in teaching, but I'm going to accentuate the mother's teaching today due to the fact of it being Mother's Day. And it says, do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Literally, this word, do not forsake, means do not abandon, do not leave out in the cold. It's this idea of not walking away from your mother's teaching. We will see later what this means, but rather, I'd like to focus on what our mothers teach us for the time being. Remember, I said that the book of Proverbs is about the skill of living. So therefore, the mother's teaching would be on how to live godly, or how to live wisely. please go with me to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. If we could go to verse 7, this is the whole theme of the book. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge," or of wisdom, "and fools despise wisdom and instruction." So we can see one thing, that if the mother is teaching us, and she is teaching us wisely, as it is assumed since it's in the book of Proverbs, and all wisdom, the beginning of it is the fear of the Lord, we can see two things about the mother's teaching. First, that it's theological in nature, or biblical in nature, and that it is practical in nature. It is a type of teaching that teaches the child the Bible in its entirety, but then teaches the child how to do the Bible properly. This is the type of teaching that is given to the son. This is the type of teaching that we need more in the church. If you are a mother here today, this is the type of teaching you should be giving your children. Biblical. You should have no other teaching, no other advice, other from that which derives itself from the Word of God. It must be the foundation. Other books are fine, other things are fine, but if the foundation is not on the Word of God, if it is not on the wisdom of the Word of God, it is nothing. It is accentuated by Solomon in the book of Proverbs of how to live right. Thus, to neglect this admonition is to neglect the fact of that we don't think God can adequately equip us in how to parent. It says, "Do not forsake your mother's teachings." I thank God for my mother in the fact that she has made it her life to give us biblical teaching and biblical advice. She has given us all sorts of biblical advice. So has my father. But my mother, she will always say, "You need to stay away from that person. That person is a such and such person. You need to stay away from that person." It's always biblical. Always biblical. Now, some of you might not have had a mother who was as biblical, who didn't care about whether you went to church or not. And as I was trying to think of how I could relate this to you, I was saying, yes, your mother was not biblical, but your mother did not teach you things like go out and rob banks. Your mother taught you moral things. Take the good, and if it matches the Bible, take that. Do not abandon that. That's the teaching you should accentuate. All the other stuff, you can take it or leave it. But it says in our text in Proverbs 6:20, it says, "Do not forsake the teaching of your mother." In Proverbs 7:3, it says, "Bind them on your finger, write them on the tablets of your heart." Going back up to verse 2, it says, "Keep my commandments and live, and my teaching as an apple of your eye." The idea of Proverbs is that wisdom cannot begin unless one values it. And if you value your mother's teaching, you are less prone to forsake your mother's teaching. Now the question is, how do I not forsake my mother's teaching? How do I do my mother's teaching? How do I not forsake it? Solomon explains it to us in verse 21. Please go with me to Proverbs 6:21. He says, "Bind them continually on your heart and tie them around your neck." He gives us two principles of how to not forsake our mother's teaching, or how to keep it. This is how we keep it. He says, "Bind them continually." Literally, the word has an idea of binding, of taking two things and tying them together with a rope, or with a sash, or with a belt. It's taking two things and putting them together. Thus, what are the two things being put together here? Your heart with your mother's teaching. We are binding them. Notice it says, "Bind them continually," in the text. It's not a one time and done. It is a constant. Why? Because life is a constant. Life is a constant. And if our mother's teaching is biblical, and we're constantly thinking of our mother's teaching, we are less prone to wonder. But it says, "Bind them to your heart." Now it's interesting to look at the word heart in the book of Proverbs. The heart is seen as the inner man of a person. Now we know that man is made up of two parts. He's made up of the material part, the things you can see, the things we touch with, and the immaterial part. This is the soul, the spirit, the heart. Here, the heart is used as a synecdoche, which is a figure of speech, which means a part for the whole. Or you've heard it said, I have 100 head of cattle. You don't have 100 heads rolling around on the ground. In fact, you have 100 cows. Here, the word heart is used in the same sense as a synecdoche. In fact, in the book of Proverbs, the heart is used as the center of thinking. In Proverbs 7:3, it says, write them or bind them on your finger and write them on the tablet of your heart. It's this idea of thinking. It's the center of thinking and the center of reasoning. We also see the heart as having a will. Please go with me to Proverbs 14:14 to show you that the heart has a will. Now here, Solomon is showing the heart of an evil man or of a backslider, but still it shows that the heart has a will. It says, the backslider in his heart will have his fill of his own way, but a good man will be satisfied with his. Show that the backslider will will in his heart to have his own ways, and he will get them. Why? Because he purposed to get them. It's his will. We see the heart is the center of thinking. We see the heart has a will. The heart also has an emotion. Please go with me to Proverbs 15:15. And it says, all the days of the afflicted are bad, but a cheerful heart has continual feasting. So we can see three aspects in the Proverbs of the heart. The one that it has the center of thinking and the center of reasoning, it has a will, and it has an emotion. So when we take our mother's teaching and we apply it to the heart, it becomes very obvious that when our mothers teach us, we need to first think about what our mothers have taught us. We need to logically deduce and logically think through, why is my mother saying this? Why do I need to obey this? Reason number one, God said to honor your father and mother. Second, your mother has lived life longer than you have. One time somebody asked my father at IGA, why are you the manager? And my dad said, because I made all the mistakes and I know how to fix them. The same thing is with the mother. She's lived life and she knows how to steer the children away from those mistakes, not to be a fun sucker, but rather to protect her child. We need to logically think, okay, God says to do this. Is this biblical? If it is, then we should do it. We need to look at the whole picture. Sometimes as children, we don't see the big picture. Sometimes when I do things, I don't think of all the pieces, whereas my mother does. I need to think about it. I need to change my will. Instead of saying, I don't want to do this, I should purpose in my heart to say, I will do this. It makes sense to do this. It's wise to do this. God told me to do this. I should want to do this. And then my emotions. I find that when I'm thinking of the big picture and when I purposed in my heart to do something, I am glad when I do it. But if I try to turn off my mind and just say, I'm not going to do that automatically, I feel bad towards the things that my mother tells me to do. So we see that when we bind our mother's teaching to our hearts, when we bind our mother's teaching, it's changing our thinking, it's changing our wills, and then changing our emotions. Then it says later on in 21, the second part, it says, tie them around your neck. This is quite simple. Do them. So you have this idea of it's an entire person change. You are completely turning around. You're changing your thinking, you're changing your will, you're changing your emotions, and you're doing them. You're doing what your mother says. Now realize that right up in the beginning of verse 20, we show that the mother's teaching is biblical. Therefore, it is not a sin to say that I'm going to constantly do my mother's teaching. If it's biblical, then I'm just doing what God is asking me to do through the agency of my mother. So we can see here in verse 20 to 21 of how to keep it. Remember, we're playing the game for keeps. And this is how we keep it. We change our mind. We change our will. We change our emotions. And we do it. But that's not it. Because the second part is, it will keep us. It will keep us. Please go with me to 22, verse 22. It says, when you walk about, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will talk to you. The mother's teaching will somehow get underneath your skin. Now, this isn't some sort of mystical thing where your mother's teaching becomes a person and walks alongside of you, as we've seen in some movies, as some filmmakers have depicted teachings of mothers as the mother actually appears or the father actually appears. But rather, this is more of a poetic agency to say that when you're walking in life, every day, your mother's teaching is to keep you safe. They're going to guide you. They're going to open up the path for you to see. When you sleep, they will watch over you. They will guide you or guard you. When you awake, they will be in your head. That's literally what the word means when it says they will talk to you. They will be in your head. The word actually means to meditate or to complain, but rather, and it also means to be in your head. And that's what the sense is of the text, that it's going to be in your head. And while it's in your head, all you can think about is what your mother taught you. Now realize that there is 15 discourses in the book of Proverbs in the first 9 chapters. Each discourse has a specific theme to tell the son to stay away from. One's to stay away from the woman of folly. One's to stay away from the adulterous woman. The other ones are to stay away from the fools and the scoffers. Some of them are to follow the lady wisdom. So the whole thing is, what are you filling your head with? And your mother's teaching, when you walk through life, they will guide you. I've heard so many people, when I've been working with them, driving around with them, they would always, before they were getting ready to do something, they would say, well, my mother would never approve of this. And it always seems that they would say it as they're doing the action that their mother would never approve of. But somehow they remembered what their mother said. And it would be there. We have to let it guide us. When we sleep, it will watch over us. One commentator said it like this: the biblical instruction for the parents of the entrance of evil into the child is, or of not letting the evil enter the child, is by supplying good and true thoughts even while they are thinking or sleeping. Yesterday was a strange phenomenon for me. I woke up at 4:00 in the morning in a tent. My dad said, it's time to go hunting. And I thought, I thought you said this was going to be relaxing. And so we drive and we go to our spot and we sit there and nothing happens, and it's about 9:00 and we decide to go to a different spot, which happens to be 45 minutes away. And while we are going, my dad was talking about a particular situation where he was camping one time and the moon was reflecting off of something and there was this orange glow on his tent. And since I woke up at 4:00 in the morning, I was pretty tired, so I fell asleep in the middle of my dad's story. And in the story, in my dream, was I was sleeping in a tent with this orange dot on my tent. And it's amazing that the last thing you think about before you go to sleep is the very first thing you're going to dream about. So if I'm thinking about my mother's biblical instructions, if I'm thinking about what is true, what is good, what is noble, what my mother teaches me to think about, it will truly guard me when I'm sleeping. It will truly guard me from having sinful dreams. Even dreams of where you dream about murdering somebody. Do you not know that when Jesus said, if you have anger in your heart towards your brother, you have already committed murder? But if I start thinking about what my mother says, it's biblical, then when I go to sleep, it will guard me. It will put a hedge around me. And when I wake up, It will be talking to me because it will be inside my head. I've met many brothers who have said, I fell asleep praying last night, and when I woke up, I was still praying. It's amazing that when we go to sleep and then we wake up, the very last thought we had when we went to sleep sometimes is the very first thought we have when we wake up. And if we listen to our mother's teaching and we constantly are meditating on our mother's teaching, if it's biblical, then it will guide us. It will guide us. Verse 23, let's go to verse 23. It says, for the commandment is a lamp and the teaching is a light. And reproofs are the way of life. So we can see here, it's still part of, it will keep you, but rather, Solomon is now explaining what he just said in verse 22. He says, for the commandment is a lamp, or it's the base, and the teaching is the light, and the discipline, or rebuking, is the way of life. It sets up a chain. You have a commandment from God's Word. The mother teaches you God's Word, illuminates what you're supposed to be doing in your life, and as it illuminates what you're supposed to be doing in your life, it corrects you, rebukes you, you can see what you need to do in the upcoming day to live for Christ. That's the sense of the text. But notice, it's not just for no purpose that our mother teaches us. Please go with me to verse 24. And it says, to keep you from the evil woman. Or literally, the woman who is evil. But notice that the mother's teaching's sole purpose is to keep you from. Now let's just do a little bit of free thinking here for a second, and let's say that we decide to follow the evil woman of Proverbs chapter 7. Solomon will logically work out what will happen in Proverbs 7. In fact, you know the story of Proverbs 7. You have a young man walking by a house of a known harlot. She comes out, she sweet talks him, she kisses him, she persuades him to come into her house. And Solomon says, in 7:22, please turn with me there, says, suddenly he follows her, and as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as one in the fetters to discipline a fool, until an arrow pierces through his liver, as a bird hastens to a snare, so does he does not know it will cost him his life. Verse 24, now therefore, my son, listen to me, and pay attention to my words of my mouth, and do not let your heart turn aside to her ways, do not stray into her paths, for many are the victims that she has cast down, and numerous are all her slain. Her house is the way to Sheol, descending to the chambers of death. The mother's teaching is to say, stay away from these type of people. Why? Because it will cost you your life. She says the same thing in Proverbs 1. Let's go to Proverbs 1. Proverbs 1, she is warning her son, Solomon, and Solomon's wife is warning their son to stay away from the evil violence of violent men, because they will be swallowed up in their violence. And go with me to verse 10. It says, my son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us and let us lie in wait for blood, let us ambush the innocent without cause, let us swallow them alive like Sheol, even whole, as those who have gone down to the pit. We will find all kinds of precious wealth. We will fill our houses with spoil. Throw in your lot with us, and we shall all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your feet from their path, for their feet run to evil. They hasten to shed blood. Indeed, it is useless to spread a baited net in the sight of any bird, but they lay in wait for their own blood. They ambush their own lives. What is happening here is that the mother's teaching is to keep the child away from sin, because that sin will engulf them and destroy them. It will be their utter demise. It is of the most importance that we have mothers who are biblical. It is of the most importance that we have mothers who are walking commentaries of the Word of God and know it in its entirety and are able to teach their children from the Word of God. It is of the most utmost importance. And it's of the most utmost importance of us children who, when our mothers did instruct us, that we listen. Because they're not out to hurt us. I often, when I was in high school, I was amazed at how many parents were out to kill their kids. Every kid you talk to, my mom's out to get me. Is it really that big of a problem that parents are out to eat their children alive? Or is it the fact that the children don't want to listen to their parents? And they're fools and they're scoffers. And they decide that it's better for them to live their own way and partake in their own sins than to buckle down and do what their parents says. We can see from this passage, it says, "Do not forsake your mother's teaching." Do not abandon your mother's teaching. How do we not abandon our mother's teaching? We bind them to our heart. We allow the teaching of our mothers, which is biblically based, to change our thinking. We allow it to change our wills. We allow it to change our emotions. We don't try to fight it. We do it. We tie it around our neck as an ornament. In fact, that's how Solomon describes in chapter 1 his mother's instructions. Is what? As an ornament worn around a neck. We do it. It's not here to hurt us, but rather it's here to guide us. It watches over us. It's in our head. Now some of you are going, "Yes, Caleb, that would be awesome if my children listened to me like this." But notice, it's not the command of the mother to make your children listen. It's the command to keep on giving the teaching. It's the command of the children to listen. It's our job as children to listen. Because it will guide us. It's not here to hurt us. It's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. One thing that I struggled with this week as studying this particular passage is the fact of the way that Solomon describes the mother's teaching is the same exact language that God describes His very own Word. And I had a very tough time reconciling this in my mind. Of the fact of not forsaking my mother's teaching, he tells Joshua in Joshua 1:8, "Do not forsake my words." When he says, "When you walk about, when you sleep, when you awake," that's very reminiscent of the great Shema in Deuteronomy 6:4. And when it says that the commandment is a lamp and it is a light, it is very similar to Psalm 119, 105. And in my mind, I had a very difficult time even studying it, even knowing the fact that I'm supposed to obey my parents, and that's biblical. But how can I describe something to a mere human being's teaching on the same level as God's teaching? But as I studied, and as I shared with you this morning, that it's biblical. And because it's biblical teaching, it's no different than going to church and hearing what pastor has to say and going home and applying what pastor said for us to do. However, there's some things we cannot talk to pastor about. We can only talk to our mother about. And that's why mothers need to be walking commentaries of the Word of God. They need to be able to know the book in its entirety. They need to be able to rattle off advice, biblical advice, at any whim, at any moment, at any hour of the day. Why? Verse 24 tells us why. To keep us from the evil woman. To keep us from the sin that will devour us. To keep us from the things that will be our utter demise. Sometimes I'm convinced we love our own demise. But we need to listen to our mothers. We need to start playing for keeps. Mothers, there's a world out there that is trying to devour your children. They are trying to fill your children with ideas and thoughts of foolish women, of scoffers, of fools, and of adulterers. It is your job to teach them to stay away. Whether they listen or not, that's not your responsibility. Your responsibility is to teach them. Are you willing to pay for keeps? Are you willing today to sit down and say, I'm going to play for keeps to keep my kids? Are you willing? Are you willing to stay up long hours to study the book, to know what the book says, so that at that moment when that child's life is about ready to come to a point where he can either go right, which is godliness, or go left, which is godlessness, and you have that one opportunity to give him that one piece of advice from that one passage of Scripture, are you willing to play for keeps? Are you willing, for all of you who have young children, are you willing to show the child light while it's still young so that when they get older, they can walk in righteousness? Does not the book say, train a child up in the way he should go and he will never flee from it? And all of us who were born from a mother, we too have a responsibility to play for keeps. It's not just the mother's job to clean up everybody's messes. We too have to play for keeps. I remember walking into the weight room at my high school, and I used to work out. Most of you probably don't believe that. But I'd walk in, and it would say, clean up your own messes. Your mother's not here to do it. And it's just a weird statement to have in a workout room anyways, but it's our responsibility to keep what our parents taught us. Because they're not trying to hurt us. They're not trying to just be some old people who give advice at any whim just because they think you need it. They're trying to help you. They're not trying to hurt you. They're not trying to be know-it-alls. We have no option as children to not play for keeps. Because there's a world out there that's trying to fill our heads with ideas. Come be like me. Come do the things I do. Come, I have this scheme. All you have to do is hurt one person and you'll be rich for the rest of your life. Come do this. Come do this. They're trying to fill our minds. We're in the middle of the city. And everyone is screaming to us, come be like me. Come what I have to give you. Are we willing to play for keeps? Are we willing to swallow our pride and listen to our parents? Are we willing to still be able to sit down at the feet of our parents and learn from our mothers? Are we willing to play for keeps? It's our very lives that are at stake. Our very futures. Are we willing to play for keeps? Let us pray. Dear Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for just the fact that you've given us godly mothers who instruct us, who teach us, who show us how to live. Father, we pray that we would be humble and we would listen. We pray that we would swallow our pride and allow us to fall down and worship you by obeying our parents. Father, help us have a wonderful Mother's Day and celebrating the fact that we have mothers. Father, let us this week think about what our mothers taught us. And may we become people of the book. May we become people who do the book. And may we be people who are obedient to our parents. In your name, amen.